You're listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 113. Hey everybody, Kayla Lortz here with the one, the only, the slightly injured, but he's going to be just fine, John Brownstone. Well, if I say injured, half the audience just gasped. So yeah, I have to follow that up with that. You're going to be fine.
I'm going to be fine. I'm going to have some bruising.
Right. We'll talk about it later. But yes, he's a little poorly today. This week, we're doing what a lot of people do at this time of year. We're thinking about how things could be or might be different in the coming year, whether that's in terms of your DS relationship or life in general or your career or just everything. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. If you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you listen to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at lovingbdsm, on FetLife at lovingbdsmpc, or on Instagram at lovingds and the number one, lovingds1. I will forever hate that handle. All links are in the show notes. I've never minced words before. I won't start now. I hate that fucking handle. Okay, so this week is a little loosey-goosey for us. I don't really, like, we didn't spend a lot of, like, serious time talking about what this episode was going to be about. And I think I've got several announcements. So this is sort of a free form. Hopefully we help you think about things in a new way kind of episode. But if we don't, our excuse is that it's the holidays. That's what I'm going with. That's what I'm sticking with. So this is our last episode of 2017.
True.
We are going on a much needed break.
Yeah.
If I could spend my whole day and my whole life doing nothing but loving BDSM stuff, I would have to make myself take a break, but I wouldn't need a break the way I need a break right now.
No, that is true. I mean, we have, between the two of us, we have so many different irons in the fire, so to speak.
I know, and we have to streamline that for 2018, or I'm going to give myself an ulcer.
Yeah. You and me both. You're going to give me an ulcer.
You're going to give me an ulcer.
Oh, okay.
You're the kind, caring, sharing one. I'm a selfish baby girl. Yeah. I will keep all the ulcers for myself.
Okay.
And then tell you why I'm more tired than you. I know nobody is really shocked by that.
You couldn't possibly be more tired than me.
I think we're equally exhausted, as well as equally exhausted with everybody else out there. Right. It's not really a competition. Do we all really want to be the most tired or the busiest? I don't think so. Did you just smack your finger hand thing that hurts?
No.
Okay, he's making a face, y'all. Okay, so yes, this is our last episode of 2017.
Yes.
We are going to spend some time over the break looking through the survey stuff and talking about what we want to do for 2018. Mm-hmm. If I've got my dates right, and y'all, I might not, we will be back with a new episode on January 12th, 2018. Believe that's the Friday.
Yep.
So that is so if you are, I know I just got a message from somebody who was on episode 66. He's going through the archives one by one. Hey, with the break of the holidays, you might be able to catch up.
Wow, God, I mean,
I know,
to you, my friend.
Anybody who goes through our archive, I am impressed with you.
Yes.
And I am so sorry you've listened to my voice that often. But it was funny because that particular person with their message said, I really like the episodes where it's you and John Brownstone together. And I went, well, you're in for a treat. From here on out, that's just how
you're
we
stuck
do things.
With me. Sorry.
We do want to say, and I want to say at the beginning, while we have the majority of our listeners, a happy holidays, a Merry Christmas, a happy Hanukkah, a happy Kwanzaa. Winter solstice was this past Wednesday. Like, however you celebrate, we hope
and
that it's
today
wonderful.
That we're recording this, it is the winter equinox.
Really?
The 21st.
I don't.
It is the shortest day of the year and the longest night. From here on out, the days start getting longer.
So we have more time to fuck tonight?
Yeah.
I mean, we started out with morning sex.
Yes, we did.
Thank God, while you were still healthy and whole.
Yeah, I know,
I'm not
right?
sure you're going to be pulling any hair anytime
not
soon
with
that hand.
Not with this hand.
But yes, however you celebrate, we hope it's a good one or it gets better. I know our holidays have been stressful up to this point. So
I hope they get better.
Right. And we've had some bright spots. So, but for everybody out there, no matter what's going on with you, however you celebrate, even if your idea of celebrating is, you know, binge watching Netflix on a specific day, you know what? Good for you. Do the thing that makes you happy.
Yep.
So we just want everybody at the very beginning to put it out there. We hope you have a wonderful holidays. Our surveys are all still up.
Yes.
I'm sort of not paying any attention to them until after, like, the very beginning of January.
Right.
So you are free to, if you have seen the email come through and went, yeah, I'll get to that, you still got time. I'm not going to send out any more email newsletters until we get back from everything, because I want to go through the survey results and revamp those. We have a newsletter survey. We have a website survey. And even if you think everything is mostly fine, please take it anyway, because quite frankly, if all I ever hear from are people who are like, God, I wish you did everything differently. First of all, if you want us to do everything differently, we love you, but why are you here? But second of all, if you're like, no, actually you do this thing great and I hope you never change it, we need to hear that, because when all you hear is the critique, you sometimes think that things are not going well.
Right.
So good, bad, in the middle, indifferent, we kind of want to hear it all.
Mm-hmm.
We already have some ideas from what we've seen.
We are always open to constructive criticism.
Right. We do not do every change that everybody requests. We're just trying to make sure we're kind of on the right path and people are getting what they need.
Try and find some middle ground.
Yes. So, and for my Kinky Book Club group members, the forum is open to anybody who's a member at lovingbdsm.net, but the group is only open to people who ask to be part of the group, and anybody can ask to be part of the group. There is a poll. It was supposed to be done on December 22nd, the day this episode goes live. I've not gotten enough votes, so I'm going to leave it open. So go into the Kinky Book Club group, scroll down a bit. You will see where I did a big long post. There's where you'll get the January book and the link to the poll. Please take it. I think I'm going to swap out some of the erotica that was listed in the poll, because I did get some good feedback. And it's a bias you don't know you have, because it's just how you move through life. The person was like, you know, I like erotica, but does it all have to have cock in it? And I'm thinking, well, gee, it's clear, because even when I do MM, you know, male, you know, I am all about the cock, but not obviously not everybody is. And it's just not something you think about. When you have a bias like that, it's not an awful bias. It just means that
I don't think it's an intentional thing. It's
You see what you like and you don't really remember always to.
Right.
So we're always growing and learning, and I may swap out some of that erotica for more, you know, FF and, you know, queer and non-binary and whatever I can find that I think will be good.
Right.
So if any Kinky Book Club members have suggestions, the group is the place to share that. Okay, so there's that.
Okay.
And then one of our very recent, very fun bright spots, stop touching the thing that hurts, Daddy. He's holding back the cry. Is another place that hurts?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to talk about the bright spot, then I'm going to talk about why I keep checking on you, because we're going to make people crazy if I don't. Okay, so our bright spot. Let's go back to our bright spot, our happy place.
Yes,
we're going
to
our happy place. So Kink Crate, who we have gotten, they are a subscription service that sends kinky fuckery to your door, and I just think that's awesome. They sent us their December box so that we could do an unboxing and a review. And we did that video this week. It is up on our YouTube channel. It's also
a
blog
video.
Post. That was, y'all, if you want to know how much fun we had, all you have to do is hit play. The very first sound you hear is me laughing. Before we even say hi, we were already laughing.
Yep.
Before we even got into the video, we were laughing at each other. So that is, we actually opened everything on camera, so you are getting our absolute unvarnished reaction.
Yep.
And the way we sometimes play off of each other on a podcast, you actually get to witness it in that video. Including all of the times John Brownstone is like, okay, can we hurry up? Okay, I got places to be.
I wanted to see what else was in that box. It was some cool stuff.
And you are already using one of the things.
Yes, I am.
And for anybody, I'm not going to say what it is, because I want you to actually see the video to know what's in the box. But I will say this. It involves tentacle porn. The thing he's doing, you'll know it. If you watch the video, you'll know what that means. And that is the thing he's already messing with. So. That really was us being goofy and having a good time.
Yes.
And we had just had some stressful stuff happen. And with that, I did not know how much we needed it till we got it. So
ain't that the truth?
It was a lot of fun. And hopefully just us being our goofy selves will brighten somebody else's day. That would be nice. So there was that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I did say I was going to leave it for bonus section, but I keep checking on you because I can't help myself. So I'm going to just talk about it right now. And you can fill in the blanks. All so right. He was out in his wood shop working today.
Yes.
Milling wood. Am I saying that right?
Yes.
You were milling the wood.
Yep.
Okay.
I had taken some logs that I cut up and rough cut with chainsaw. And I actually had need to cut them into pieces to make shaving brushes.
They're Christmas gifts.
Right. And in order to do that, I was using the table saw and I was cutting the blanks. I had squared several blanks that were roughly 2 inches by 2 inches. One of them was probably about 12 and a half, 13 inches long. The other one was about maybe 8 inches long. And then from there, I was cutting them down into the 2.5 inch length pieces that I needed to start the brushes. Things were going great.
Until?
Until they weren't going great.
And all I heard y'all was, ah, fuck, fuck, fuck. And I'm like, I'm springing up out of my chair. And then I realize he's been not playing with his wood, but not in a good way, that he's been working with tools. And in my mind, I'm like, oh my God, there could be blood. So I go to the screen door where I can't see anything, but he can hear me.
Well,
I'm like,
you're getting ahead of me.
Well, I know, because I wanted to talk.
I know. So I was cutting these blanks. Now, I always believe in safety in the shop. So I was, wearing safety glasses and everything that, you need to do, thankfully. And I got to the last piece that I was cutting, and I reached down to turn off the saw. Now, I use what they call, I can't think of, a push stick, okay, which keeps your hands clear away from the blade. And had one hand on the push stick, and I reached down to turn off the saw. And it was my own mistake. I released pressure on the push stick, and I had not pushed the block of wood far enough forward on the saw, and it caught the still spinning blade, and it fired that block of wood right back at me.
And that's when he started screaming.
That's when I started screaming. And it caught me in the chest and on the hand.
And thankfully, we did not have to. I mean, it's not such a serious injury that we immediately had to go to the emergency room. My fear of there being blood was minimal blood. But I did stay back so I could collect myself and mentally prepare myself. I was like, if he is bleeding, me puking in the bushes is not going to help him.
No.
So I was like, are you okay, from a safe distance? And he couldn't speak, but he wasn't telling me there was blood or call 911. So I'm like, okay, take a deep breath. And I ran out there, and he's on the garage floor on one knee, just crouched down, shaking. It scared the fuck out of me. I'm pretty sure it scared the fuck out of you too, Daddy.
Yeah, it did.
So his hand is a little banged up.
Yeah, no, nothing's broken in my hand. I can move everything with no pain. But
a very deep bruise, a lot of swelling.
Several fingers are swollen. I am going to have, on my left
man boob
chest, I have one hell of a knot forming, and it's probably gonna have some pretty colors to it by tomorrow,
I'm sure. And so then I, it's my job to doctor him up, and we had some hydrogen peroxide, and I'm dabbing him, and I'm the whole time I'm going, I promise I love you. I promise I love you. I promise I love you. And he's not even saying coherent words because I know it stings like hell. So yeah, he's sore. He hurts. He's moving slow. I think personally he rattled himself quite a bit. I keep checking on him. So if I interrupt what I'm saying, go, are you okay? That is why. He is fine as far as we can tell. We are watching him. Of course this occurs, 9-10 days before your insurance goes into effect.
Right.
I'm sorry, I'm gonna need you to hold all injuries until 2018. Thank you.
You're gonna wrap me in bubble wrap every time I go out the door now, right?
I'm sorry, you might just be grounded from the shop for the rest of the year. I'm sorry. I'm gonna need you in one piece till I can afford for you to get hurt. Thank you. So That is, goodness, 15 minutes into an episode and we haven't actually talked about the episode.
No, we haven't.
So, yes.
Surprise, surprise. Surprise,
I know. Surprise, surprise. I did tell him, I said, this will be kind of our off-the-cuff episode. I kind of know what I want to talk about, and I do, and I've been thinking about it, but it's not one of those things where I go, here are all the things I hope everybody walks away knowing or thinking about or, you know, discussing with their partner. It's more of a, I want to put the thoughts out there and you do with them as you will, because this is not a, this is how I think you should live your life kind of thing. This is sort of a, an introspective kind of thing, but we'll just all do it together. And the reason I've been thinking about it is twofold. One, during this time of the year, we're all kind of looking towards the future. A lot of people do resolutions. I do not make resolutions.
No, me either.
I make goals. I will set new goals every year.
The last resolution I made was probably about 9, maybe 10 years ago, if that.
Mm.
And it was a resolution to make no more New Year's resolutions.
Finally, one that stuck.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of you. You might need a sticker or a ribbon or a badge for that one. But no, I don't make resolutions either. I do like to set new goals for the year. What do I want to accomplish?
Right.
And for me, because I happen to sort of live and die by goals, it's not enough to say I want to do this thing. I then start sort of mapping it out. How can I do it? But that was part of it. I'm in that process myself of going, okay, how do I want things to be different in 2018?
Right.
And the other thing that brought this up for me and made me want to talk about it specifically in terms of DS or BDSM or kink or relationships, even though all of it applies to any part of your life, is because I get a lot of messages from people who start out with, I'm nervous about, I'm scared about, I'm not sure what to, I'm not sure how to, you know, and it's a lot of uncertainty. And that's going to happen at any point in a given year and under a million and one circumstances. But sometimes it's, we know what we need to do.
Right.
We're just sort of nervous about or afraid of doing it. Not because the thing itself might be hard, but because we know that it will change things.
Well, change is difficult for people. I mean,
we
talked a little bit about
Very
that in
true.
Our last episode. I think the worst thing about change for people, and I even for myself, because I went through it my own way a number of years ago, change means you're stepping outside of your comfort zone.
Right. And a lot of people would rather stay in a miserable comfort zone than to do something different
yeah.
that takes them away from that, whatever that thing is that they don't like. Now,
right.
as somebody who has gone through that herself, we all have in our own way on different levels. I understand it. It's one of those. And I went through this probably 6 months prior to getting a divorce or splitting from my ex-husband. I was like, okay, I know what this is. I know how bad this is. And I have adjusted to it and I have adapted to it. And I don't know what could be on the other side, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So do I stick with the awful thing that I'm used to? Like, I'm making it. It's not great, but we're fine. To go out on a limb and experience something I don't know what could happen. And that meant anything could happen.
Right.
And when you're in a pessimistic place because of what's going on in your life, it is very hard to see that, yes, awful things can still happen, but also really, really good
things
can happen.
Good things can happen too, yeah.
And the other thing I've noticed, anytime I've made a massive change that just sort of overhauled my life, and I've only done that, like, I'm not a fan of change, y'all, so I've only done it a couple times in life.
Mm-hmm.
What I've also learned is that in the short term, in the immediate aftermath, things do get shitty. Because you have to adjust to everything. And things will happen that you didn't expect and couldn't plan for.
Right.
And once you can work through those things, then it can start getting better. And sometimes you think you have to work through those things by yourself when you really don't. You need to reach out to the people around you who are offering support. Or you have to go find support. And that is for every part of life. But in the past more than a year, but I'll just say in the past year, since we're talking about the end of 2017, I've gotten more messages from, and from my perspective, it tends to be submissives. I know you hear more from dominants, but I get these messages from submissives who are like, I am miserable. I hate everything about this, but it's all I know. So I'm not, I can't change.
Yeah.
And can't is not really the word.
No.
It's don't want to, are unsure of.
Afraid.
Afraid. And then, of course, we get the messages from people, and I know you get them as well, where they say, I'm kinky, but I'm positive I can't tell my partner. I'm sure I can't tell my partner. And the thing is, I can't tell you that you have to tell your partner. Right. Because I don't know your life, and I don't know the circumstances, and I don't know all the things you know. So the point of this is not to say, oh, you need to go and drastically change your life in 2018. No. maybe you do. There's a good chance for most of us, if we would do something slightly different than what we are doing now, we, you know, can get to new places. What I'm saying, and the reason I wanted to talk about it in this episode, is that I want you to think about it. That's all. What you decide ultimately to do is up to you.
That's your own decision in the long run. But, you know, sometimes you kind of need to, you know, just how Kayla and I, we will set time aside to sit down and assess our relationship. We will sit, assess our kinky aspect of the relationship. Sometimes you need to do that for yourself.
Absolutely.
Sit down and assess yourself. See where you are at this particular point in life and where you want to be. And, you know, when we talk about goals, one of the things that I have found in setting goals is you want to be realistic about them.
Right.
Okay. You know, yes, you want to have the big goal.
Right.
Which is what you ultimately want to reach. But what you don't want to do is set yourself up for failure. You want to have your big goal. Let's say, okay, by the end of this year, I want to be here. All right? And then you set yourself mini goals or steps. So that way, as you complete each step, You have a sense of accomplishment.
And you're moving in a direction.
But you're moving in the direction to reach the big goal.
Right. And the hardest thing about this, we all want there to be like an easy 1, 2, 3, here's how you do a thing, right? Anything. Here's how you become a submissive. Here's how you find a dominant. Here's how you enter the BDSM lifestyle. Here's how, right? Like, pick a thing. We all would love for that hack, like that thing. If we could just do it, we get to.
Is there an app for that?
We get to like go from the beginning to the end in 3 easy steps, right? And the reality is that almost nothing in life works like that.
No.
And my personal philosophy is nothing worth having works like that. Like, you have to go through the hard part and you have to go through the work. And sometimes it means you have to do things that fucking terrify you and you're not sure you're capable of doing. For those people out there, and I know that you come from all walks of life, you have, every single one of you has a completely different situation. You are on different sides of the slash. Some of you aren't sure you are part of the slash. You're not even sure you want to be part of the slash. So we all come from different backgrounds. Here's the thing I know to be true about all of us. We are all, every one of us is capable of handling the next new challenge because you have survived the shit of your life up to this point. Think of the hardest, most awful thing that has happened to you that you wouldn't wish on your biggest enemy.
Yeah.
Guess what? You fucking made it through that.
Right.
Okay? So the next thing that you think, I really want that, or that feels right, or I can't stop thinking about, and then fill in the blank with whatever it is. No matter how scary it is, as long as you realistically assess what you think could happen or what the outcomes might be, or, you know, you're not trying to skydive without a fucking parachute, you will survive that. It get harder before it gets easier? Yeah.
Good chance, yeah.
There's a chance. I would not ever lie to somebody and go, oh no, you're gonna, you know, completely overhaul your relationship and it's going to be perfect from day one. No, the fuck it's not. Even when it feels really good from day one, you're going to have bumps in the road. My most recent personal experience with this, my two most recent, was a change in my relationship and a change in my career. So the change in my relationship was, I had spent my entire relationship with this man mostly, okay. Like, I wasn't miserable every single day, I was not fulfilled, not satisfied, not happy, constantly daydreaming about a different life. Like every moment I was by myself, I'm like, oh, this life would be nice and that life would be nice. And sometimes he was in that daydream, but most of the time he was not. But I was like, this is my life. You know, I took a vow. That vow was very serious to me. And so this is my life. And I knew the very first question my mother asked when I finally got to the point, I was like, I don't want to be married anymore. And I thought I just didn't want to be married at all. Right.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, how are you going to do it? Cause I had free childcare. He didn't work, but I didn't have to pay for daycare.
Yeah.
We only had, you know, certain expenses weren't there that would be there. Like my mother had already done the mental math, which should have told me she'd been doing that mental math for a long time. I was not that bright. And I said, I have no idea how I'm going to do it, but I can't do this anymore. And it was the first, what I would consider genuinely selfish decision I had made up to that point at 30 something as an adult. It was the absolute first decision I ever made that, while I obviously considered my children and I obviously considered my soon-to-be ex-husband, and I was very worried about what my family was about to think because none of us ever got divorced. It was, you know, we were ride-or-die bitches in my family. I said, this is, everything around, we've talked about this in past episodes where I say my skin starts to feel too tight.
Yeah.
My whole world started to feel too tight. Like I was expanding, but nothing around me was. And, I was nauseous all the time. I didn't even know I had anxiety at the time or that I was bipolar at the time, but it all came out at the time. Mm. I looking back, I'm like, oh yeah, I experienced all of those mental breaks during that time. Great. And after the split and after some of the really shitty things that happened while we were going through that, it got worse. Like I was calling my mom going, I can't buy groceries this month. I don't know what I'm going to do. My aunt was secretly wiring me money into putting money in my bank account, not telling my mom, who we all thought would not help me. And my mother's like, I'm so happy you're getting a divorce. Here is all the money I can afford to give you. I mean, that was, I didn't sleep for nights because I thought, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to pay the mortgage. Oh, my house got foreclosed on. I did that willfully, but that was my fear while we lived there. There were a lot of things that I thought, I don't know how I'm going to do this and survive this. And then I would look at my children and go, oh my God, their father's nowhere around and he's, you know, out in the doing his own thing and he's not even here for his children. What have I done to them? You know? And it was awful. And then it got better. And it got better before I met John Brownstone, y'all. John Brownstone is not the person, the relationship that cured it all. I was on my way finally to being mostly healthy, mostly happy before I met him. And then the next one for me was a career change. It was when I went, you know what, I'm going to not have this job with its regular paycheck, its paid benefits and insurance that's not completely awful. And I'm going to go work for myself where I have none of those things. And granted, in that case, I had the support of John Brownstone and I couldn't have done that without him. And that was an easier transition than a divorce. Of course it was, but it was still scary and it was still really, really awful. I went from making, you know, $42,000 a year to making $300 a month for the first several months, you know. And I'm just now 3 or 4 years later back to my old level of income. So it was a struggle and it was worth it to me. Now, I don't think the whole world needs to take a look at your life and go, you know what, that thing over there sucks. I am kicking that person out of my life. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying take a look at your own situation. What is the thing that is making your skin feel too tight? Where it feels like the world has shrunk down around you and you now don't fit. Like you're expanding and it's not and everything's too tight. What is it in your life? Your kinky life? Your work life, your personal life?
It can
be
anything. It doesn't necessarily need to be a relationship. You know, it can be any aspect of your life.
And y'all, the change doesn't even have to always be drastic. Or, like Daddy said, the change, you might be like, today I cannot, we'll use a relationship as an example, I cannot end this marriage. Because right now, if I do that, the the bad far outweighs any relief I might feel. I know that immediately it will be really bad. Mm-hmm. And that is not something I can overcome. So, okay, you say, what do I have to put in place to be able to do that? I need to research what my options are. I need to research right. what the state laws might be. We have a friend who has been in the process of separating from her husband for over a year.
Year and a half.
Yeah. And just this month, December 2017, is officially separated from him, living in her own place.
Right.
Like, she knew in 2016 this is where she was going, but she wasn't in a position to just make it happen right when she wanted to.
Right.
Which is extremely frustrating. And I do, as an impatient baby girl, I can certainly yeah. sympathize yeah. with that. But that was every move she made. Even when she felt like she was being pushed back a couple of steps, she'd take another step forward. And mm-hmm. slowly, inch by inch, she's at the next step. Now, there right. are way more goals and steps and things. And God knows her soon-to-be ex-husband is going to throw every obstacle he can in her way. But she got to this first big goal. Now it's time to go, okay, what's the next one?
Right.
What do I need to do? So when we want to make changes, again, it's sort of like when we want to fix things. What we really want is to like twitch our nose and everything to be fine. And it doesn't work that way. So let's bring it back to DS. So let's take it out of the like massive, oh my gosh, I'm about to divorce my spouse thing, right? Because that is certainly not everybody. You're kinky and you want to tell your spouse, but you are like flat convinced that they're not going to be okay with it.
Right.
So the first thing I would say is, okay, why are you convinced? Is it because they have said awful, ugly, mean things about kink? Or is it because you have decided that they're not going to like it because you've just never talked about it? So if you've never talked about it, have they had a reason to talk about it? Do you really have an indication? And only you know the answer. Like some of right. you are going to go, oh no, my spouse has said really awful, ugly things about kink. I know if I tell them, they will think there's something wrong with me. So then the next question becomes, okay, what are you going to do about it? One person that I was talking to online says, I'm not in a position to get a divorce. I know that's not going to work here. You know, I have my reasons. Cool. She says, so my solution right now is to make friends in the kinky lifestyle, mm-hmm. learn as much as I can, soak it up. And when a time comes where I can do something different, then that's what I'll do. And that's laying the foundation, because when you move in the direction of the thing you believe you want or believe is best for you, you do not know what pathways will open up for you.
True.
You do not know what will appear as an option that 6 months ago you couldn't have conceived of.
Right.
You know? So whatever the thing is, whether it's big and drastic and, you know, ending of a relationship, or if it's less drastic but equally as important, you want to submit to your spouse, or you want to go find that new DS relationship, put yourself on the path for it.
Right.
And you might be amazed at what, you don't have to even make any big changes.
I got an email from somebody last week. They wanted to meet somebody. Okay, they were submissive and wanted to meet a dom. You know, maybe this is the year you take that step to research your local community. See what munches are out there. See what type of lifestyle socials they have. I mean, these are type of things that, you know, don't require you to go out there and play immediately. These are just socials, munches to meet people, to become friends with people, to see what the lifestyle, the local lifestyle where you are is all about.
Exactly. And think of that as, okay, so if the long-term goal is I'm single and I want to go find a kinky partner. I want a dominant, I want a submissive, I want, you know, whatever it is you're looking for. So then the mini goal is, okay, first, I'm going to research my local lifestyle. And then the next goal is I'm going to go to a munch, or I'm going to go to a social, or I'm going to go to a game night, or whatever your area is offering, right? And you're not going there with the intent of, oh, I'm going to walk in and they're going to fall at my feet. Oh, yeah, I'm going to walk out with my new partner. Oh, yeah. No, the fuck, you're not going to do that. You're going to go and you're going to go, I had this experience. And oh, that person over there was nice. Right. Not that person is the person I want to fuck. That was, oh, that person could be a friend. They might not even be, they might even qualify under your criteria for who you want. They're just another human being who is a kingster that you have become a friend with. That friendship, 6 months down the line, they might, through that friendship, introduce you to somebody.
Right.
They might say, come to with me to this play party. You've not been here and I want to introduce you to new people. And through those connections, through those small things you did on the path to getting to your ultimate goal, you have opportunities you didn't have before.
Correct.
You know, I mean, this sounds kind of trite, but it's sort of the thing I repeat to myself a lot, is that if I want something different than I had before, I'm going to have to do something different than I've done before. I cannot keep doing the same things over and over again and think that, poof, like a miracle, the things I want are going to fall from the sky and land in my lap.
No, you have to work for it.
You're going to have to work for it. You're going to have to push yourself a little bit. You're going to have to
effort.
You're going to have to think about things in a new way. And sometimes on your own, often, you know, in your life where you are living in your own personal bubble, and we are all in our own personal bubbles, you're not going to see the new way. So it is going to require that you kind of poke through the bubble a little bit and go, you know what? I know this is a thing I want. I'm not sure how to get there. Let me go over here and read this new thing, listen mm-hmm. to this new thing, talk to this person, whatever. Expand the bubble a little bit, and you might be surprised at how much information sort of comes flooding in. You know, because mm-hmm. you did something a little bit different. You don't have to come up with all the answers and all the solutions on your own. What you have to be, in my opinion, what you have to be willing to do is willing to think about it, face the things that scare you. Even if, I don't mean like standing in front of the dragon with your sword. I mean, think about the thoughts that you're afraid to think about, right? Like, think about what it would mean to be kinky, to tell your partner you're kinky. Like, think about what it would mean to tell that really awful partner that they can pound sand. Think about what it would mean to walk into your first munch on your own. Like, you have to face those things. I think this happens to a lot of us, especially very anxious people. We think a thought that scares us, or we think about something that makes us nervous. And so we shy away from thinking about it.
Mm-hmm.
The other side to that, though, is sometimes we spend so much time thinking about it, we fool ourselves into thinking that's the same thing as going out and doing it, which it is not. So all of that is to sort of say to you, what is the thing in your life, kinky or otherwise? We're talking about in terms of kink, but y'all, it applies to everything. That you are dissatisfied with in 2017. Right now, you are just mm-hmm. dissatisfied with it. You want it to be different. You might even know exactly how you want it to be different. So what are you going to do about it in 2018? What goal are you going to set?
Right.
Little or big? If you set a big goal, then set some mini goals to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And how are you going to get closer to getting the things, or having the things or experiences, or being with the people who fulfill you? I know a lot of people, because they've said it to me, who look at the relationship that Daddy and I have and think that it is some kind of fucking miracle.
No.
No.
It's not.
A lot of little things had to go right. Like,
yeah.
Granted, a lot of little things had to go right. And some of those little things aren't very little. Like, part of it was he had to go, you know what? She is kind of hard work and a pain in the ass, but I might keep going forward with this.
Right.
And for us, it did sort of move kind of fast. When I look back at it in retrospect,
she looked at me and said, oh my God, I mean, I have to live with those puns and those strange
puns.
Smells that come from him.
Hey, now that we're married, all my strange smells are coming out too, so we're fine. We're on, I woke my children up by belching loudly this morning.
You did,
so.
You did.
That's what happens when you're the only female surrounded by nothing but stinky, farting, burping boys. You just let it all hang out. Stop worrying about it. So yeah, I know, like, I look back at our sort of path together, it happened a lot faster than it felt like at the time.
Yeah.
And it won't happen fast for everybody. And it won't happen the way it happened for us.
It has to happen the way it's going to happen. I think in some cases, matter of fact, I just kind of mentioned that to somebody, a friend of mine this week as well. You know, sometimes you have to let things happen organically.
Yes, you cannot force. A lot of things cannot be forced.
If you try to force it, it can make for a bad situation all the way around.
And if you find yourself forcing the things you want, right, like pounding the square peg into the round hole, if you're making it happen, it's most likely not really supposed to happen.
No.
Things can happen organically, but you have to be willing to put yourself in a place where they can happen. So if a year and a half before I hadn't said, I cannot be married to this person anymore, I would never 18 mm-hmm. months later, however much longer later, found myself in a position to meet you. It would never have happened.
Right.
If you had not been willing to go, you know what? I can't keep being married to this other person anymore. We would not be married today. Like,
true.
None of it, just because we made that one change, we didn't foresee that where we are now is where we would be. Hindsight is completely 20/20. Everything's clear mm-hmm. in hindsight.
True.
So we had to do things that made us nervous. We had to do things that felt risky. We had to do things that we hadn't necessarily done before or thought we didn't want to have to do.
Had to step outside the box.
Right. And that is for everybody in anything you're doing. And right. sometimes,
whether you want to go back, whether you're not happy with your job or what you're doing, you know, that could mean going back to school.
And sometimes your first step is not a big dramatic thing. Sometimes your first step is like an inch forward. It is, right. I'm going to go do a Google search about this thing, mm-hmm. or I'm going to talk to a friend about how I feel about this. It's not I'm going to make this big declarative statement and change my whole life tomorrow.
Or even in a case of, you know, maybe you're going to school, but certain issues have cropped up. And you need to take a step back to take care of yourself.
Right. And it is very hard to know what to do. You know, we've talked about, and I talk a lot about, you've got to trust your gut. You've got to trust your gut. Listen to your instinct. But I read this wonderful blog post, very succinct, not a very long one, by Seth Godin, who said, it's not enough to trust your instinct. You have to train your instinct. You have to pay attention to it and do your best to make the right decisions. And guess what, y'all?
Yeah.
You will not always make the right decisions. Sometimes it's not really your gut you're listening to. It's something else you're listening to. And there mm-hmm. is no foolproof way to make a change and for it to go off flawlessly. There is
right.
no foolproof way to move forward on a new thing and never have something bad happen again. It is impossible.
What you have to train yourself to do when you make a mistake and you realize you've made a mistake, you learn from that mistake.
Exactly. You know what not to do.
You know what not to do. And you move forward from there. You try something different.
I'll give you a totally vanilla example, but I think I impressed my own mother, who, she is only 19 years older than me. We joke that we kind of grew up together. But she wants to retire from her current job and open up potentially a bookstore, which would totally be up my alley. We are such readers in our family. So the last time we were visiting, she said there are all these local bookstores that wouldn't be where she would locate hers. They're in different cities, but it's all real close. She said, I want to go check them out and just get an idea for what people are doing. And I said, that's cool. I'll happily go with you. We walk into one that she had heard such good things about, was so excited about, was just, oh, everything I've heard, it's perfect, right? She walks in, we both walk in and we go, this is nice. And she and I are a lot alike on mm-hmm. certain things. So we both had the same vibe of, oh no. So we look around and we walk around and we kind of look and we go, oh, I like that. Oh, I don't like that. Or, oh, and we're kind of twitchy in there. Like, oh, this just doesn't feel right. We walk out and she goes, well, that was a bust. And I said, what do you mean? She said, that was awful. It was nothing like it was described. It did not give me the warm feeling that other people I know have just, oh, why did we come here? I said, it wasn't a bust. She said, what do you mean it wasn't a bust? Now, my mother is in her like 50s. Like, I feel it's weird to tell my mother something she does not know. And I said, now you know one thing at least that you don't want. And she looked at me. She went, oh my God, you're right. I said, yeah, you know you don't want anything like what you just saw in there. I said, did you see anything that you kind of like? She said, well, I kind of like this. I said, well, you think about that later. I said, but you know whatever you create, and her plan is like a 2-3 year plan, whatever you create will not look like that. She said, yes, I do know that now. I said, there,
mm-hmm.
Mission accomplished. It's one thing to check off the list. It wasn't even the not so great things. I'm not talking about the tragedies in life, just the blips and the, and oh, that didn't go so well, or oh, that didn't go the way I planned. That is information to use, okay?
Hell yeah.
Went on a date with somebody off of a dating app who said this and kind of raised a couple of red flags. You're like, oh, maybe I'm just overthinking that. And you go out on the date and you're like, oh, shit, no, I don't like this person. Guess what? You now have more information
right.
for the next person you encounter. Mm-hmm. When that same red flag gets waved, you go, oh, no, I'm not wasting my time on you. I've been there, done that.
Yep.
And you've just made your journey that much easier.
True.
Even the blips, even the things that are mistakes, even the things that feel like missteps, when you're working towards whatever the thing is that you want, those are opportunities to learn from. They are not completely wasted. They might, and it won't feel like it's getting you any closer to whatever your goal is, but it really kind of does, because the next time you see it, if you're aware of it, if you're thinking about it, you go, oh no, I'm not wasting my time here. Been there, done that. And you get to move through that a little bit faster.
Right.
But the biggest thing is, and y'all, I say this as an impatient baby girl who wants what she wants when she wants it. Is that the best things in life have never happened fast for me. They've always taken time. And there have been a lot of times where I wondered, am I doing the right thing? Is this okay? Is this right? That's normal. That's a natural feeling to have. And it's not something to ignore, because sometimes that is your gut going, whoa, you've gone off course a little bit.
But you know when that's the case.
If you're the type of person who knows to listen to those inner feelings, not everybody does. It's a skill that has to be learned, and you will get it wrong before you get it right.
Yeah. Okay.
I just happen to be always in my head. So. I know a lot of people who are always in their heads, but because our world is expanding with everything we do with the community and the podcast, I'm meeting a lot of people who do not go through life like that. And they, just like I look at them and wonder of how can you just walk into a room and want to talk to everybody? They kind of look at people like us and wonder and go, how do you just know what you're feeling? Well, that's my superpower, okay? I don't know what to tell you. So I feel like I can harp on this all day long, and I don't want to do that.
No.
The thing is, what I would say to you, and I think it's something that a lot of us do, but we don't always do it with a lot of purpose, is what is it that you want differently moving forward? Yeah. In your kinky relationship, in your BDSM life, hell, it could be something as seemingly small, but it doesn't feel small when it's happening to you, as saying, you know what, this thing we've been doing in our DS relationship, it doesn't work for me anymore. Like, it could be that. Like, you're in a happy relationship, but something's not quite right. You need to make a shift. That is still a thing to work towards and still requires a certain amount of change and stepping outside of that bubble and stepping outside of your comfort zone. So for our last episode of 2017, to give you something to ponder if you are so inclined, that's, whatever it is in your life, kinky or otherwise, what is it you wish were different, that you want to be different? What is the change you tell yourself? And I know, because I do the same thing, I wish I could do that. Well, you don't have to wish it. You can work for it. Might not happen the way you expect or when you expect or on the schedule you create for yourself in your mind. But what is it? What is that thing or those multiple things? What do you want to be different in your life?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you think you might be able to get there? On a slow, meandering, believe me, very meandering path. And if that's your kinky life and you end up having a more fulfilled kinky life by the time you get to, you start working on this, great. And if that's your career or your marriage or, your living situation or whatever your thing is, we should be, I'm the type, I like to think about these things all the time, but I'm no different than anybody else. Is this time of year when I start thinking about the next year that I really like sit down and go, it's why we have like 25 million surveys out right now.
Yeah, right?
I'm like, I'm thinking of different things. What am I gonna do? So
I have a question for you.
Oh gosh. Okay.
What are our goals for the upcoming year? I'm not talking about LB or KL or MM or any of that.
You just spoke in code. That would be Masturbation Monday, KaylaLords.com, and LovingBDSM.net. We speak in code around the kids all the time, so it's just our shorthand. Sorry. You mean for us as Mr. Daddy and Mrs. Baby Girl?
Yeah.
Well, I would certainly like a lot more kinky fuckery.
I think we both would.
Right. I would like to probably expand on things we already do. Like, we know we enjoy impact play. It's a thing we talk about all the time.
Right.
But we haven't pushed our limits on that.
We haven't. Not for a little while. You're correct.
Right. You know, big scenes where they're intense. Good God, I can't even tell you the last time I went to Subspace. You know?
I know.
And not because, oh, we've played and I just haven't gotten there, but we haven't even been in the position where I could.
Could, right.
I would like to get back to potentially exploring the idea of a polyamorous life, more open relationship life.
Yes.
We've set some of the foundation for that. We're very open about our desires for other people. We're very open about things that we are individually interested in that don't work with the two of us as a couple.
Right.
We have been very open about the things that we would love to incorporate into our life as a couple. I worry that may be the impossibility because I am very insular. And as much as I am open to experiencing a relationship or a moment in time with another person, I know I don't need anybody but you. So, and I would never want to shut a person out accidentally because there are moments when you are all I need, want, and see. So that is a very delicate thing because that's another human being's feelings and needs and wants to have to sort of navigate. And I am a difficult person to get close to, and I know that. Like, I can get close to a person that I feel that I don't worry has any sort of attraction to me or I might be attracted to. The moment attraction becomes an issue, all of my self-esteem issues come to the surface. Right. All of my trust issues come up. Every mean thing I've ever thought about myself is right there. So I am a very hard person to get close to that way. And I still am shocked you worked that hard. I would not expect another person to go, you know what? I'm willing to work that hard for, you know, a person.
I'm shocked I worked that hard. Okay?
Right.
No.
So, I would like you, nobody can be like you. Every interaction would have would be an individual interaction with another person.
Yeah.
But when I say this, that's with that in mind. Just as I admire you and am impressed with you and in awe of you for the hard work you did, I would certainly feel like that for another person who, just like you didn't have to, they certainly wouldn't have to. They'd have less incentive to want to work that hard. Why the hell would they want to work that hard? I can't imagine it. I can't imagine anybody, as much as I might be open to the idea of new partners and exploring new sides of myself with another person and having that kind of individualized relationship that still somehow fits with us in whatever way we all consent to. I cannot fathom the person with the nerves of steel going, yes, you there with all those issues? Yeah, I'm willing. Sure. You know, I might want it. I might think that's worth exploring with the right people. But I'm not betting on it. I'm not counting on it. I'm not even setting it as like a goal. It is a, wouldn't that be nice if that somehow happened by magic? So I'm not taking my own advice at all.
No, you're not.
Frankly.
I was going to say, you are not even taking your own advice. You're not, no, not at all. You're not being positive about it.
I'm not being negative. I'm being neutral.
Oh, is that what you call it?
I'm doing what people who are listening, they know they do it. They might not admit it. I'm raising my hand and say I do it. I'm doing that whole, if it happens, great. If it doesn't, okay.
Well, you know, nothing just happens. You have to put in some effort for it, right?
You're right. But you know what? I think that I have to make space in my life for that because I would never want to give another person short shrift. I would never want to go, you know, I find find you kind of interesting and let's start like a really lengthy conversation, but now I've got to put you down because I got other shit to do. Like that's, you know, I get so...
And folks, I have to be honest with you. It's something that I have learned in our relationship.
No, it's not fair to people.
Because she does it to me.
I know.
And there are times I have to go to her and physically tell her, okay, I'm shutting the laptop.
You have to focus on me right now.
The lid is going down on the laptop. It's time to look over here.
I know. And that would not be fair. It's not fair to you at all. At least, you know, you and I are in a committed relationship already. We are with each other all the time to work on that stuff. That's not fair to that other person. You know, I didn't read in depth about it, but I sort of paid attention to some conversations where people who want sort of a third either in their relationship or, you know, their own other relationship while they have their primary, they sort of do tend to treat these extra people as if they're just sort of accessories. And I find that I'm not surprised, unfortunately, but I would hate to do that.
Yeah.
That would certainly never be my intention, but that's my fear that I might do that. And that's not fair to another person, you know?
No, it's not.
So it's something that, yes, I can say what would I like for us in our relationship to be potentially different in 2018. Yeah. Exploring that more, exploring our own, just getting back into our own kinks a little bit more would be kind of nice.
I mean, I don't disagree. I would like to, that is something that has still hovered in my mind. That is something we'd like to explore. I also had another thought.
Oh, goodness.
About getting back to kinks. You know, we're going to be traveling here shortly, and we're going to be in a different area. I had a thought, maybe seeing what there was for clubs and parties in the time frame that we're going to be in an area while we have some childcare, maybe we can slip out one night and...
I'm sure we can. Since we're going to South Mississippi, which is not as conservative as Central Mississippi or Northern Mississippi, I'm sure they're out there because I know like there's clubs in Atlanta and Birmingham and God knows in New Orleans. I have no doubt about that. But in South Mississippi, I would genuinely be shocked if you found it and us as outsiders could get into it. I'm sure it's there. There are kicking people everywhere. But just knowing, I mean, I have my impression of what Mississippi is. I lived there for so long that I would have to look at Mississippi in a different light if I found the kinky, the BDSM club in South Mississippi. And got to go to it.
Challenge accepted.
Right. And didn't have to drive to New Orleans or even to Mobile. I mean, I'm sure there's stuff in Mobile. But yeah, so I mean, you asked. Those are the things. Are you on the same page or do you have different things that you would like to be different?
I'm kind of on the same page. I definitely would like to see some more kinky fuckery. I mean, it's been a while since I've been in dom space.
Yeah, I do like you in dom space. Ooh, that's hot.
You know, things are a little difficult with the change in the club status around here. But at the same time, did find out, you know, something interesting that there may be some daytime possibilities which is nice. So, you know, we need to, both of us, we need to kind of step up and look into these options and take some steps towards them.
Right. And we have to actively do that. And just like it happens with everybody, we got busy doing other things and those things kind of went on the back burner.
Exactly.
And, you know, when...
I'm fledgling with my woodworking and, you know, this holiday season was very important to me and that kept me very occupied. So, you know, now that that's behind, you know, I need to look at some things about how I'm judging or being able to look back and see how things went in this past year. I think I have a better opportunity now to look forward and make some changes in that, which can then present itself for some changes for some things for you and I.
Well, sure. Well, I'm, you know, in talking career-wise, I have to streamline. I have to make I either have to stop doing some things, which mm-hmm. some things would not hurt my feelings to stop doing, or I just have to, I have to prioritize because I'm trying to do too many things.
Correct.
So while I'm trying to do all of these things, then something gets shoved to the side, and yeah, it's been our kinky fuckery. It's been our, you know, our interactions with one another. They've been on sort of a autopilot. You know, we're really quick to deal with issues as they come up, but we are not quick at all to take opportunities to enjoy ourselves or to unwind and relax. And quite frankly, it's actually the idea of going to the club. I would go and I would love to go, but it's a little intimidating because it has been so long. Like hanging out at a Munch, fully clothed in a vanilla space, I can do that all day long. Let's go. I've been doing that, but oh, I'm going to go to the club. I'm going to take off all my clothes and he's going to hit me where people can see. I haven't done that in a while. Do I remember how that works? Do I remember how to act? And that's what happens when you don't do it for a long time. You have that, either that feeling of impending excitement where you're like, I have to do this thing, or you get nervous or you're like, do I still know how to do this? And it is like riding a bicycle. You do not forget. But you know, those thoughts are there. So I think that's it, right? I mean, we have a bonus section because we got mail. Yay for mail! But that's it.
Yeah, I think we've kind of covered everything. Yeah.
Okay, it was a very ranty, loosey goosey kind of episode.
It was, but kind of nice in a way.
It was. For the last one, I would like it to be more of a relaxed feel. I believe I ranted. I definitely rambled, but
when
I always
don't
ramble.
You rant?
Every once in a while. It happens. I think it's like every third Tuesday or something.
Yeah,
I just
right.
take a break and I don't rant. I think that's it. I definitely dropped some F-bombs. I remember that.
Oh, right from the start. Right from the get-go.
That's how you know I feel strongly about a thing.
All right. So shall we let these good people go if they want and move
yes.
on to other bigger and better?
Do our final bonus section of 2017.
Yeah.
I know. And I am shocked at the amount of people who are like, I am a proud cricket.
I know.
I love that.
I'm amazed. It's wonderful.
Do not feel bad if you're like, I'm here for the information. I cannot handle the rest. It's okay.
It's okay.
Totally get it. That's why we do it this way now.
Yeah.
Okay. So yes, I know I'm not going in. I'm just.
All right. Okay. Well.
And we don't edit anything out. So everybody's like, what the fuck's going on over there? I picked up the mail and was looking at it. And he thought I was going to start talking about it before we closed it out. To go into the bonus section, but that is not what I was doing.
Okay, let's close it out, girl.
Okay,
all right.
Yeah. We love you guys.
Yes, we do.
Have a happy holidays, however you celebrate.
Blessed New Year and
yes.
enjoy. Have a wonderful time with friends and family. And,
mm-hmm. and if you are alone this holiday season, reach out. We have a friend that we know will be alone on Christmas coming over to our house on Christmas Day.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, chat with people. The community is open. Talk. I know not everybody will be able to be in the community. We live with a phone in our hand. We will.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you need to connect, send us an email, message us on FET, talk to us on Twitter, or join the community and introduce yourself in the forums
yeah.
and connect that way. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to feel completely alone. Okay.
Okay. Good.
Vaguely.
All right.
Keep it kinky, y'all. And we'll see you next year. Wow. Can I? Please?
Girl.
Please.
You were just stomping at the bit lately.
Well, a cricket said that it drives her crazy, I think in a good way, when it takes a while for us to get to it.
Oh.
But then she realized that you're a sadist and that might be why you make everybody wait.
I
said
like that
it's exactly that.
I like edging the audience.
I know, but Daddy, please.
Girl.
Daddy, please.
Girl.
Daddy, please.
Girl.
I love you, Daddy, please. Please.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Daddy. Okay. Okay. So hopefully I didn't come across as lecturing too much. I can lecture. Ask the 12-year-old whose eyes roll back in his head.
You can lecture up there with the best of them.
I've got opinions. And I don't.
I think you were about ready to lecture me today.
There was no about to it, y'all. He hurt himself. I helped him get back on his feet. He's shaking from head to toe like a damn leaf. And I'm like, you're done for the day. You're done. You are not going back out in the shop today. And the funny thing is, he had been kind of off. And he wasn't in the right mindset. And
no.
I said, you know what? remember how you felt, because when you feel that way, you're not going back in the shop. He is so safety conscious. We're walking in, he goes, I think I should have stood on the other side of the table saw. Had he been in the right frame of mind to be out there working, he would have thought about that, and this would not have happened. So I was like, okay, the thing we're taking from this is, when you feel this way, you do not go in the shop. You just take a damn day off.
Okay.
And so he did, and it involved tentacle porn, and you only know what that means if you go watch your new video. And I don't want to give it away, because I'm very proud of that video. That is so quintessentially us.
I am too. I am very proud of that video too. It was it was one of those times. It was very organic.
Oh yeah. I mean, very first video we did with that first Kink Crate unboxing in August, we filmed it 4 times. We were so worried about all the technical stuff that we forgot how to speak, and then this video we just kind of went, let's do videos the way we're most comfortable doing videos, which are in our bedroom, and everything was fine.
Yeah,
I think that's just how it is. We need to do them in our bedroom. So yep. I'm gonna get into our mail, because we got awesome mail. So the first one is a postcard from Miss Lou, and Miss Lou says, hi guys, I had to send a second postcard because right after you read my last one, I found my daddy, and it's all caps, so did you hurt your hand?
Well, one of the things that I didn't notice right away,
uh-huh,
is that when it hit my hand,
your fingernail, oh god,
it chipped off part of my fingernail past the quick.
Oh yeah. God, y'all. Oh, okay. We've now grossed out our audience. Anyway, Miss Lou has found my daddy and says he's a good guy and should be around a while. So yay, we are so very happy. And Miss Lou writes from Maple Park, Illinois. Postcard, though, that looks like a vintage-y photo of New York City. Those look like the Twin Towers. Am I right? Or is that from Chicago?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Miss Lou, please reach out and tell me where my postcard's from. Because those look like the Twin Towers to me. But mm-hmm. I know Chicago has a really cool skyline, too.
Yes, it does.
And I am a small-town girl who has only occasionally left the South and only occasionally gone to big cities. So I never know what I'm looking at.
And I've only been to Chicago once, and that was just in passing. I got to drive the loop. There's they call it the loop. It goes around the city so you can navigate the city. And it makes New York City traffic look like a drive in the park.
Yeah, I'm a southern girl. I can't do all that.
I was too nervous to actually see it that time.
Most of my experience with large cities is usually from airports when I used to travel for my old job. And then a few places I've been to London now, but I really went to Camden Town, London. I did not go, explore London more than that. Anyway, okay, so that is wonderful. And like I said, Miss Lou, please reach out and tell me, because I'm sure I butchered that. But yay for a new partner. And part of me wants to do that protective thing of, don't mess with Miss Lou, we'll come after you. But no, I would not do that. Okay, so then the next thing I got was from a friend that we chat on Facebook. And I read... her blog occasionally, Mrs. Robinson, damn fine writer, needs to do more of it. Just saying, come hang out with Masturbation Monday more often, Mrs. Robinson. Got a card from Mrs. Robinson. And it says, I read this holiday hint for making ice cubes out of leftover wine. I never knew that was possible to have leftover wine, I mean.
Right, yeah.
And she says, happy holidays, you too. I wish you all the best of love, family, and, of course, kinky fuckery during this magical time of year. A hugs to me, Kayla, and a high five to JB.
High five.
And signed it. Mrs. Robinson, a.k.a. fellow coffee addict.
Woohoo!
Hashtag coffee is my love language. And then there's a note at the bottom that says, I'm enabling your addiction. And oh, yes.
In the best of ways.
Oh, yes.
Thank
there
you.
Was also a Starbucks gift card in here. And it has purple on it, so I think that means it's mine. this is the one time I'll say I'll arm wrestle you for it.
Okay.
No, I'll still win. You're injured.
Right hand is perfect.
Not if I squeeze your left. No, I'm not good. No, I'll touch your moob over there. I'm not arm wrestling you. So yes, thank you for that. We are okay with that kind of enabling, quite frankly. We have lots and lots of coffee, and we're not ashamed of that.
No.
When the day we die, you know, some people when they're old, you go in their house and there's like old mail, or there's lots of cats, or you know, there's
thimbles or
right vintage stuff. No. There's gonna
it's be gonna
be
coffee. Bags and bags of coffee.
Right, and use Starbucks gift cards and empty coffee cups.
Right.
Yeah. That's what's gonna happen.
I'm good with that.
I'm totally. You know, they'll whoever finds us will go. You know, they died the way they lived. But that's a long time from now.
And then they'll get to the bedroom and they'll find all
My gosh. They'll be like, well, clearly they needed all this caffeine so that they could use all of these kinky fuckery toys. I know. We're going to have to like set a safe person who's not allowed to die before us.
Right.
You know what, though? Once I die, I'm not going to give two shits. Come find out I'm a kinky bitch. I want to shock my children. By then, they'll be adults. I'll be like, y'all, stop being so damn vanilla. Try a flogger. I honestly don't know what my children will be like. I have suspicions based on sort of things that have been done or said, but they're way too young to worry about that, so yeah. I'm not. But I
know.
By the time they're old enough, I'm not sure I'll want to know. I'm that kind of parent. Like, I have the sex, enjoy the sex in whatever way that means for you, but I'm not sure I want to know about the sex
children will be having. I actually have witnessed a parent whose child was legal age.
Yes, I was thinking of that.
And they brought them to a local club, and they actually introduced them to a top who they knew to be safe and negotiated their first scene for them.
Right, and I a lot of props to that parent. I am not that type of parent. Now, if at some point my children have questions, whether even before their legal age, but you know, once they start, if they have questions or if I can figure out how to make that kind of conversation appropriate, probably after they're older than 18, I will have the conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, I won't hold back information if I think it, you know, that they need it.
Yeah.
And I would rather them get it from a source like me who's going to, you know, caution them and you know, all the things to keep them safe that they will likely promptly ignore because I am their mother. But at least I'll know I said it. He's practically licking his ice cubes. He had an iced peppermint mocha, and he's just drained it, and he looks very sad. I'm not the parent who's pass the information on, be happy for them in whatever way satisfies them in a consensual way, and then I'm good. I'm out. I'm done. I'm done. I've done my job. But it's already weird with the 12-year-old because things are happening to that child's body. And I'm like, I'm supportive of this. It means he's slowly becoming a man. Do I have to be here for this part, though? So, yeah, there's been I feel like the whole first, 15 minutes of this episode was kind of a bonus section.
Kind of was, yeah.
It was sort of loosey-goosey.
Yeah.
But it was good.
Yeah.
I think. I have a feeling people will be like, you know what? It was a hot mess, but it's our last one of the year. We'll forgive them.
But, you know, it almost feels like because it's the time of the year,
right.
You know, we should all be sitting around a roaring fire, whether it's a fireplace or a fire pit.
We live in Florida. We don't need no damn fire.
And, you know, hot chocolate and roasting marshmallows.
You are fantasizing about winters in New York, okay? I'm sorry. This is West Central Florida. Christmas is wearing your flip-flops and your hoodie.
Last time I had Christmas in Florida was 1980. So, yeah, that was a big fantasy at this point.
Right. So no. Christmas in this part of Florida, I have learned, is wearing your flip-flops and a hoodie, drinking an iced drink of some sort because it's still kind of warm, opening all the fucking windows because while you're cooking on your holiday celebration of choice, you heat up the fucking house. Or I think this happened to us last year, turning on your air conditioning on Christmas Day. That is a holiday in Florida.
It looks like we're going to have our AC on this Christmas, too.
I know. I was like, and I was feeling, and I think there's kind of a warm thing going on in general, because we're traveling north-ish to South Mississippi, north for us at least, to visit family after Christmas. And I was worried because the boys don't have a lot of cold weather clothes. They just don't need it. And I'm thinking, well, I'll give my mom a reason to shop for them. And I'm like, oh my God, they're going to be cold until that happens. And then I was looking at the weather and it's like, oh, it's going to be like 50s and 60s. They need a couple pairs of jeans and a hoodie. They're fine. They will think they're freezing, though. Because at this point in their life, they really only know, like, this part of Florida's weather.
True.
So, yeah, the little one, the youngest, he's going to think, like, he's about to turn to ice.
Really?
I mean, this is a child on a 70-degree day. He's like, I really need to wear my socks to bed. My feet are cold.
Right.
Okay. And the oldest one's like, can I wear flip-flops? It's my toes are turning blue, but I'd really like to wear my flip-flops. Sure. Now I really am just babbling.
Yes.
Because if we stop recording, I have to go back and do my big real ass
stuff.
Project.
Your big girl stuff.
Oh my God, that is kicking my fucking ass. You're not supposed to touch that part of your body. It's all bruised and hurt.
I know. And I'm an arm crosser, so yeah, how you am are. I not going to do that?
You'll train yourself not to very quickly.
So.
That's okay. I am a man boob feeler. Well, for you, not for just random man boobs. And I cannot touch that part of your body. And it is literally twice the size
of
the other.
Well, you know something? I realized something, and this is very quick because I have to do this very soon.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have to put a lot of trust in you here very shortly.
Well, okay.
You're going to have to help me shave.
I don't know. You could just be scruffy. I'm so sorry. I cannot help you shave.
Oh, no. I cannot go without shaving. Not this part of my neck.
And when you hear back from us again in January, it will be how I nearly cut him at the jugular while trying to shave him. And it was a lovely funeral. Stop. No, I would not. No, I only know how to shave legs, and I'm not so damn good at that. Do you know how many rough patches and spots I miss on my own legs?
Well.
Are you sure you... You've seen the way I've cut my leg before. Are you sure you want me to shave you?
I can't squeeze the button on my whoopee in my left hand, so I'm not going to be able to hold the razor.
Yeah, none of that made sense to me. Okay.
Yeah, I know.
The Whoopi is his e-cig.
Right.
He's using it with his left hand. So what the analogy is if he cannot even squeeze the button with his left hand, then holding the razor is going to be dangerous.
Right.
I hope we have enough determined crickets who are like, oh, I speak John Brownies.
Well,
and that whatever that language is that Kayla Lords is speaking, like, we have to use so many codes around here that we just sort of slip into it.
Well, actually, it's because of you that I started calling this my Whoopi.
I know, we've talked about why it's the Whoopi, but I don't expect the whole world to remember why it's Whoopi. I explained to the boys why it's the Whoopi, and I think they want to watch the movie Mr. Mom now. Okay, we really are in rambling territory. I think we just don't want to say goodbye to everybody for 2 weeks.
I know.
I am going to miss this.
Yes,
even though
I am
we
too.
Need the break to get our shit together, I am still going to miss it.
Yeah.
So hopefully for those who are proud crickets, you're like, no, we're good. Yeah, it was a hot mess, but you're going to be gone for 2 weeks, so we'll tell you what we can get. Y'all, you know we love you.
Yes, we do.
Thank you for
everything.
Your support, financial and just sometimes emotional, and just your Twitter support. It really does make a difference.
It does.
I mean, sometimes it gets tough and it's hard to know if you're doing the right thing. And then out of nowhere, we'll get a message from somebody and I'm like, oh, look, there's a person who is happy with this thing we're trying to do.
Yeah.
So it does. It matters.
It does.
And we love you for it.
It does a lot.
And so I have to go back to work.
Yes.
I don't want to go back to work.
And I
want to do this.
I want to go back to what I was doing now.
Tentacle porn.
Yeah.
Watch the video. The link will be in the show notes, y'all. Or just go to our YouTube channel. I'm just telling you. Watch the video. It's cute.
Okay.
It's cute. It's not overly sexy, but it's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
We love you.
We love you. Bye.